Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey. South Africa's president said on Wednesday he might order more troops onto the streets as the army and police struggle to quell days of looting and violence, while some citizens say they are arming themselves to protect their property and businesses from the rampage. More than 70 people have been killed in the unrest, the worst in South Africa for years, and hundreds of businesses wrecked. Food and fuel supplies are running short. Triggered by the jailing of ex-president Jacob Zuma last week after he failed to appear at a corruption inquiry, it has widened into looting and an outpouring of anger over the hardship and inequality that persists in South Africa 27 years after the end of apartheid. Shopping malls and warehouses have been ransacked or set ablaze in several cities. Security forces say they've arrested more than 1,200 people, but the government has held back from imposing a state of emergency. The unrest is also disrupting hospitals struggling to cope with a third wave of COVID-19. The World Health Organization says there were nearly 3 million coronavirus cases globally last week, a 10% increase that was accompanied by a 3% rise in deaths, reversing a nine-week trend of declining COVID-19 indexes. In the weekly report issued Wednesday, the UN Health Agency says the highest numbers of new cases were from Brazil, India, Indonesia, and the United Kingdom. The WHO says the easier-to-spread Delta variant has now been identified in 111 countries since first being detected in India, and it expects the variant to become globally dominant in coming months. The organization acknowledged many countries are now facing considerable pressure to lift all remaining COVID-19 restrictions, but warns that improper planning or assessment of the risk of transmission provides opportunity for the virus to spread. This is VOA News. Iran rejected as, quote, ridiculous and baseless the United States' claim of Tehran's involvement in plotting to kidnap a New York journalist and human rights activist who was critical of the Islamic Republic, Iranian state media reported on Wednesday. An indictment unsealed on Tuesday showed that U.S. prosecutors have charged four Iranians, alleged to be intelligence operatives for Tehran, with plotting to kidnap the activist, who is an Iranian-American journalist. Iran's intelligence services have in the past detained opposition figures and journalists abroad. The European Commission wants to end the sale of new petrol and diesel cars by 2035 under a huge plan to fight climate change unveiled Wednesday. According to one of a dozen ambitious climate draft laws revealed in Brussels, emissions from motor vehicles must fall by 55% by 2030 and drop to zero by 2035. As a result, all new cars registered as of 2035 will be zero emission, the statement announcing the plan said. This would in practice mean that all cars and light vans sold from that date would be battery-powered electric cars, which currently represent less than a tenth of new registrations in the EU. But the move will be fiercely opposed by some in the industry lobby as it makes its way through intense negotiations and drafting process and scrutiny in the European Parliament. And there is caution among member states like France, Germany, Spain, and Italy, which have large sectors manufacturing traditional combustion engine vehicles and hybrids and supporting thousands of jobs. Politicians fear that motorists will see fuel prices rising as a result of carbon levies as they are pushed to sell their gas guzzlers and buy new electric cars. But European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen insists the transition is vital if Europe is to meet emissions reductions targets and the public is rallying behind it. And the United Arab Emirates opened an embassy in Israel Wednesday, housed in Tel Aviv's new stock exchange building in the latest normalization move under a deal brokered by Washington last year. The venue in the heart of Israel's financial district highlights the central role of the economic cooperation in their ties since the UAE became only the third Arab country to recognize the Jewish state. Israel and the UAE have many deals ranging from tourism to aviation to financial services since normalizing ties in a deal brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump's administration and announced last August. Wednesday's ceremony was held in the lobby of the Stock Exchange building, two floors below the embassy, and came after Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid made a landmark visit to the UAE last month, opening an embassy in Abu Dhabi and a consulate in Dubai. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.